Come out of the jungle. Come out of the desert. Come out of the wilderness. Come into this clearing. Come into this oasis. Come into this sanctuary of light. Come as you are. Bring what you have. See what you find. Wait for what happens. Come as you are. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us online or on site, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Now, children of all ages are welcome in this community, but where the heck are they this morning? Is it like a long weekend I don't know about? Usually, this is the busy part. Today, this is the busy part. And I just want you to know I love you as much as I love them. But if you would please lie down on the floor and play with cars, that would make me feel a little bit better. Nonetheless, children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care, the playground down front, and Sunday school after the word for all ages. All right, let's practice. Say cheese. We are having photographers in worship on Sunday, May 19th to take pictures for our website. Local folks who can be on site, we need you. You can wear whatever you normally wear, but please do wear something, and we'll be taking some pictures and having some fun in worship. All right, I have like a whole bunch of other announcements. Did you eat your Wheaties? Did you drink your coffee? All right, first of all, migrant hosting info. You can learn more about providing temporary shelter to immigrants this Thursday evening in person and on Zoom. See info on that in the bulletin, migrant hosting. We've got the SMT report back today. In February, we sent three representatives from FCC to Santa Maria Ceja in Guatemala. That project has a report back this evening at 7 p.m., including presentations from Kirsten, Jenna, and Jeff. See more info on that in the bulletin. That's SMT. So far we've had migrant hosting info and SMT. Today, you don't have a slide for this, so don't worry. Art in Bloom is finishing up at the library from 1 to 4 today. That's right next door. Taylor and Tracy have some bloom. Carolyn has some art. So you will want to go check that out right across the street. And today is the first Sunday of the month, which means it's a Communion Sunday at FCC Natick. Folks at home, I invite you to get a bit of food and drink. In person, we are having gluten-free bread along with grape juice and wine. The red is grape juice, the white is wine. You'll be invited to come forward to receive the elements or raise your hand to be served in your seat. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. Participate in whatever extent is comfortable and meaningful for you. And I think, I forgot to check, but I think there were envelopes in the bulletin. Were there envelopes for the communion fund this morning? All right, these are donations that help our neighbors experiencing financial crisis. You can also give online or send contributions to the church office. Just indicate communion fund in the memo line. All right, you're still with me? You're still with me? Yesterday was a fabulous yard sale at FCC Natick, and the yard sale team is gonna come forward and be a little excited.
It was a terrific yard sale, if I do say so myself. And what I'd love to have happen is everybody who volunteered, who's here, volunteered at the yard sale, why don't you stand up? Everybody who donated to the yard sale, please stand up. And everybody who shopped at the yard sale, please stand up. Woo! And we have a choir anthem this morning. You may be seated, as you were. We have a choir anthem this morning, and one of the lines that we sing is, "Let your neighbors in." And we did that in spades yesterday, and it was wonderful.
Gail, how much did we earn yesterday?
Okay, we had an informal goal of $2,000. However, we raised $3,670. And Kirsten is not here this morning, but Kirsten should be up here, as Jeff and, you know, I'll forget people if I start naming names, but we had quite a team, the outreach team. Take a bow. Okay. Yep.
So we want to thank every single person who helped out with this, whether you donated, shopped, or volunteered. Our volunteers were amazing. They kept it running really, really well. Extra, extra special thanks to Gail and to Kirsten for the energy and hours and hours and hours that they put into it, as well as Marge for her support. So thank you, everyone.
I know! I know! I know! There's a baby here! We are so excited to have two big sisters with us today, and their new baby. Maybe we'll hear about it in the joys, but no pressure. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and our worship this morning will center on that. We talk about mental health a lot at FCCN, so this isn't particularly unusual. I had a chance to watch the powerful worship service here from October 2022 when people shared their personal experiences. I still want to recognize that even though this is something we talk about a lot, it can hit close to home for lots of people. So please do what you need to do to take care of yourself during this service. And for those on site, I hope you will join us for coffee hour. We have Anna from the Massachusetts Behavioral Health Partnership, who is available to share resources and answer questions. And there's stress balls and bracelets and all kinds of stuff down there. Thank you for being with us today, Anna. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your body, mind, and spirit into this time and place, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was. So they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Today the light sets before us a feast of love in abundance with room enough for all. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Doug, and going back to the don't wear red on Pentecost Sunday, our photo shoot, does anybody recognize me? I'm not wearing red. I'm modeling our non-red attire for May 19th, so that out of the way. Please join me in the call to worship in your bulletin and on the screen. God calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves.
The one who is weak and the one who is strong.
The one who is happy and the one who is sad.
The one who couldn't manage to get dressed this morning.
The one who got here but is crumbling inside.
The one who we understand and the one we don't.
The one who is embraced and the one who is shunned. Come, let us worship together.
We come embraced by God's love.
And please now rise as you are able in body or spirit for our opening hymn number 314 as we gather at your table. Thank you. may be seated. Our centering prayer this morning is adapted from words by Reverend Rachel Keefe. We begin with a bit of quiet. Just breathe in and out. There's nothing else to do right now. Just breathe. Let us begin with silent prayer. God of the table where all are welcome, awaken us and open our lives to your presence. We long to step fully into new life and to recognize you in all whom we meet. As we come into your presence, remove from us all that separates us from our neighbors. Show us how to be your people, a people of radical hospitality, a people welcoming all human differences, knowing that in you we are all made perfect. We come before you ready to leave behind isolation and emptiness, willing to have our eyes opened to seeing you in the faces around us. Meet us here as we worship with you, that we may experience the transforming power of your love, the love that Jesus preached and lived and talked about when he taught us all to pray, saying, O God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, God's peace is for all of us, just as we are. It doesn't matter if you're good at math or can't do a three-point turn. Doesn't matter if you take medicine to adjust your mood or your blood pressure or your vitamin D level. It doesn't matter if you can't boil water or if you're a genius at languages. None of it matters. None of it. God's peace is for all of us, just as we are. So let's proclaim it to each other on site and online, and then join together in our song of celebration, which is new for the month of May, and Cindy assures me it's easy enough that we'll just get it. God's peace be with you all. She's a minister and a props person. It's awesome. Our scripture this morning is from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And today we'll hear from the Inclusive Bible by Priests for Equality. This passage is part of a long speech that Jesus gives right before he is betrayed and arrested. He's telling his disciples everything he thinks they need to know to deal with what will come. Hear his holy words. As my Abba has loved me, so have I loved you. Live on in my love. And you will live on in my love if you keep my commandments. Just as I live on in Abba's God's love and have kept God's commandments, I tell you all this that my joy may be yours, and that your joy may be complete. So this is my commandment: love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer speak of you as subordinates, because a subordinate doesn't know a superior's business. Instead, I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have learned from Abba God. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit. Your fruit must endure, so that whatever you ask of Abba God in my name, God will give you. This command I give you, that you love one another. These are our sacred stories. May we hear the command to love. Amen.
Are invited to lean in for the word for all ages. So I had a great time at the yard sale yesterday. There were so many people. It was such a beautiful sunny day. There was so much cool stuff. And I bought these very cool glasses because they light up. I mean, I thought they looked neat even before they lit up, but once I saw the lighting up, I was very excited. But then I found out something else. They're magic. They show me people's feelings. I had the glasses on, and there was a kid that I thought was shy, sort of standing off by the building. But then I looked at them with the glasses on, and they realized that it wasn't that they were shy, it's that they were feeling sad. Their grandma's sick, and just being around all the hubbub at the yard sale was kind of hard for them when they were feeling sad. So, you know, because at first I thought it was someone who's shy, and because I can be a bit much, I was going to just like give them space. But then when I realized it was because they were sad, I was like, I'm gonna go over and see if they would like some company. And that's what they wanted, but I wouldn't have known without the magic glasses. And then there was another kid who was like bopping around the yard sale, so happy, but then I looked at them with the glasses on and I realized that they were super angry because none of the grown-ups were listening to them about stuff they wanted to look at the yard sale. But they thought that if they acted angry, they would be in trouble on the way home. So they were just stuffing that anger down and like pretending to be happy. But because I wore the magic glasses and saw that they were angry, I went over and I was like, grown-ups are the worst, aren't they? And they were like, yes, they are the worst. And I was like, would you like to show me some of the stuff you like at the yard sale? And so we went and did that, and the anger, it seemed like it was maybe a little bit better. So I was like, I have to go buy these glasses right this second because these are so helpful for a pastor who just wants to help people with their feelings, right? Right? Oh, there are a lot of feelings. There are a lot of feelings out here. Oh, I understand you're feeling stressed. Let's talk after worship. I'm so glad you are feeling relaxed here today. Lane, ennui? Really, Lane, ennui? Oh, I don't even know what that emotion is. We're gonna have to figure out. Okay. Unfortunately, I'm just pretending that these are magic glasses. They're not really magic glasses. They don't really show me how anybody is feeling. It can be so hard to tell what's going on in somebody's insides. But your feelings are so important no matter what they are, especially when your feelings are making you feel yucky. So you are gonna just have to tell me your feelings. Tell me or your parents or Miss Sarah Lynn, you're gonna have to tell somebody, some adult that you feel like you can talk to. And here's the other thing. This magic wand I also bought at the yard sale, it's also pretend, it doesn't actually do magic. So I can't, although it is molting, so I can't magically make your feelings better either, but I can listen to you and I can breathe with you. And I can remind you that God loves you and is with you no matter what and no matter what your feelings are. So as our kids get ready to head off to Sunday school, let's send them and their feelings a blessing. God, who is in all our feelings, remind us that our feelings aren't good or bad, they just are. And help us to share those feelings with each other and care for each other when those feelings are too much. Amen. Thank you. 99 times a week, someone asks you how you are. And you answer, fine, right. At least 50 times or so, that answer is totally reasonable. When the cashier at Roach Brothers asks you how you are, you don't necessarily want to unpack all your feelings while they're trying to pack your groceries in your reusable bag, right? And if your client asks you how you are and you are like, there is so much going on, and, like, that's not necessarily the way to begin the client relationship. So sometimes fine is a completely appropriate answer. Like if you bump into somebody on the street, you say, excuse me, right? Like it's this sort of natural social construct that we do. And sometimes it's not good. You might be honest, but you're also oversharing. And so there's just some times we're not going to do that. But there are lots of times when someone says, how are you? And we pull out that four-letter answer when we really should be saying, get comfortable. This is going to take a while. Right? Because the anxiety meds aren't working anymore and we feel like one huge raw nerve. Or our child has stopped eating and we don't know what to do. Or our dad keeps reacting with angry outbursts over things that never bothered him before. And yet still, they ask, how are you doing? Really? And we say, so that's when we have to remember what fine really stands for. Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. There are other versions, but you get the idea. We say we're fine when really we're anything but. Why do we do this? Now, sometimes it is for a very good reason. We want to take a break from thinking about our crisis, right? Sometimes we just want a break from it, and sometimes we don't trust the other person to respond in a way that's helpful. But other times, we look at the people around us, especially the people at church, and we say, boy, everybody else has their act together. What's wrong with me? So we keep the shiny, happy people mask firmly in place so nobody will know anything is wrong. Well, guess what? Most likely, half the people who seem to have everything together are feeling just as messed up as you are. Here are the obligatory statistics from the National Alliance of Mental Illness for you number people. 1 in 5 adults experience mental illness each year. 1 in 6 youth ages 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder each year. So at least 12 of us in the room are dealing with mental health issues ourselves right now. Another chunk are trying to help a family member dealing with a mental health issue, and another chunk dealt with mental health issues last year or will be dealing with them next year. So I don't have a statistic to quote, let's be real, I'm just making this up, but I think it's safe to say that everyone we know has been impacted by mental health issues, whether their own or someone they're very close to. Amen? And yet someone asks us how we're doing, and we say, and again, sometimes for good reason. Because we've told someone our kid is cutting as a coping mechanism, and now they're not invited to sleepovers. Because after we came back from the inpatient stay, our boss didn't seem to trust us anymore. Because when we called our brother in tears again, we could tell he was losing patience. Because our spouse seems to have an endless list of what we should do to make everything better. Because our church told us if we just prayed harder, God would take the illness away. I'm in the right location this morning to say that the struggle for mental well-being isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, sometimes one that lasts a whole lifetime. And our culture likes quick fixes. And white, upper middle class, overly educated culture in particular likes problems it can solve. That's why I'm so grateful to be in a congregation that speaks openly and honestly about mental health, not just within the sanctuary, but in the community, like the big green ribbon on the outside of the building. As I mentioned, I had a chance to watch the worship service from October 2022 when parishioners and Reverend Andy Burr spoke personally and powerfully about mental health challenges. That act of sharing, especially for men, was a brave and beautiful gift, a model for the rest of us. We know that we don't have that magic wand to bring mental well-being to all. Treatments for mental illness are complicated and imperfect, and access to those treatments is way harder than it should be. But we also know that hiding and denying mental illness only increase stigma and shame and make everything worse. So I have two hopes this morning. Let's make it three. I have three hopes. I can have three hopes this morning. First, that this congregation will find ways to continue to share our experiences around mental health in ways that are healthy and appropriate, i.e. we'll deepen the sense of safety and acceptance so when someone asks us how we are, we feel like we can say, absolutely not fine. Second, we'll continue to practice ways to respond to each other's not fine that are healthy and appropriate. We won't try to fix anything. We will not spew a bunch of advice. We will sit in that helplessness and in that pain and in that discomfort, and we'll listen. Maybe make a casserole. And third, we'll continue to be a place where people can connect to resources that promote mental health, like the items Randall adds to the link every week, our guests during coffee hour this morning, and the practice of deep breathing during worship. Do you think I do that just for fun? No, I'm just desperately trying to get you to breathe. In our scripture reading this morning, Jesus gave us one commandment: love one another. Not fix each other, not impress each other, not judge each other. Love one another. Not permit inappropriate behavior. Not tell each other you should just. Not even to like each other. Love one another. It's not that I think that loving one another will miraculously cure mental illness or get our society to deal with mental health in a better way. But being able to show up as our true, authentic selves and be told that we are lovable and loved just as we are is at least a good beginning. So know that when your pastor asks you how you're doing and you say fine, I'll know what you really mean. Amen. It's the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so folks at home, if you haven't already done so, I invite you to get a bit of food and drink. Remember that when we celebrate communion, we're remembering the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his friends. At that supper, he didn't order anything special. He used what was right at hand, right there at the table, to invite his friends to remember him always. So at home, maybe you're having a little bit of leftover pizza from last night and water. Whatever you have is just fine. Folks in person, you'll be invited to come forward to receive cup and bread, taking both back to your seat that we might all eat and drink together. You can also raise your hand to be served in your seat. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list and the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Natasha and Tim? Oh, Lily was welcomed into the world and into her family last Friday. We celebrate you and with Zoe and Maya, the best big sisters ever. What a joy. Rachel, did I see your hand up? Rachel, thank you, especially with your professional perspective. I've loved talking to you. So Rachel is lifting up the children of the church. There was something, was it the music? The music. The music and our ability to talk about mental health together. Thanks, Rachel. Carolyn. I'm with you. I know. We celebrate that the Methodist denomination is now an open and affirming denomination, fully affirming clergy who are LGBTQ, and also celebrating the ability of clergy to perform LGBTQ weddings. And that's particularly when I think about my colleagues who have struggled for decades about whether or not to stay in the denomination or leave and lose their pensions. This is real for so many people's lives. Thanks, Carolyn. Yeah. John. Oh yay! Oh yay! A joy. So it has been kind of a roller coaster while you and Jeff have been working on buying a condo that would be his new home. And I know it's been an emotional roller coaster for Jeff as well. So the fact that he is owning that identity as a homeowner is delightful. And I hope there might be a way we could know when he moves in so we could send a housewarming package or something like that to him. Thanks, John. Thank you. Love it. Love it. Because he's got to watch all his DVDs. Love it. Other joys. Yeah, Janet.
Kate is flying to Warsaw tomorrow. First time in Europe, and she spends 6 weeks doing an art and architecture program for college, and that's not at all what she's studying, so I'm just thrilled for her to have a really cool adventure.
Janet's daughter Kate is leaving for Barcelona, where she's going to be spending a chunk of the summer studying art and architecture, which is not her major, so it gives her a chance to just explore and expand. Love it, Janet. Linda, was that your hand? Yeah. There's not really more chairs. No. So we celebrate that Lorraine, whose heart is so big, went into AFib this past week and spent some time in the hospital, but she's doing great. Lorraine, I hope you're home. I hope you're watching this. We miss you. Sending lots of love and prayers. And Linda is also lifting up the Sunday morning discussion group that meets at 9 o'clock. And yes, there are more chairs. But this is a really lively, deep, and meaningful conversation every week, and I share Linda's joy. Lane, do you have, Pam, are we gonna call it a joy? We're gonna call it a joy. Okay, do you wanna say it or do you want me to say it? So Pam also spent time in the hospital this week, but she is with us now and she is doing much better. She still has to like deal with a bunch of things over the next week or so, but we're so glad you're doing better and we're so glad you're here this morning. But we're gonna continue to hold you in prayer too over the next week. Lane?
We're fine.
I have one more. Today is the family promise walk at noon today. So blessings on all of those, on Chris and all of those who are walking today to support family promise. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Tim. Tim, Nicole? Okay. So Nicole's dad, Tim's girlfriend Nicole, her dad had a heart attack on Friday. So she's going to say goodbye to him today. Where is he? Like how? In Attleboro. So our prayers to Nicole and to her family and to you as well as you support her. Thanks, Tim. Lane? I continue to hold in my prayers the people of Gaza who continue to be impacted in every way as we face generational trauma, more generational trauma for Palestinians. Anything I missed? So Jesus hosted a meal. The disciples were there, the 12 men depicted in Da Vinci's painting, but there were so many more people there than in the artist's image. Women, of course, the strong, brave souls who supported Jesus' ministry, tax collectors, as usual, and sex workers and lepers, all the dear ones who were shut out of so-called polite company. And there was the man who lived in the graveyard who cut himself with stones, and the woman who they said had seven devils in her, and the youth who had been through so much he couldn't even speak. So many who were judged, blamed, outcast. All of them were at the meal, not as servers or beggars hoping to receive the crumbs from the table. In fact, they were the guests of honor. The disciples washed their feet and brought them food and listened to their stories. There were tears and outbursts and strange noises, but it was all met with a gentle touch, a peaceful presence, an accepting smile. In the midst of all that, Jesus picked up the bread. He gave thanks for the bread and all who had been part of its creation, and he shared it with all who were gathered. He said to them, "This bread gathers us into one body, one whole, beautiful, broken body. Bound together in this way, what hurts you hurts me. Your joy is my joy. Together, we are one. The bread will break, and our individual bodies will break, but the love that binds us will never be broken." And then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks for it and the earth that had created the juice therein. He said, "This drink that looks so much like blood is a covenant that binds us together. When we share it, we promise to truly see each other, truly hear each other, truly love each other, as God our Creator has seen and heard and loved us." And then Jesus shared the cup with everyone around the table. And they knew each other in the sharing of the cup. In the same way, beloved, we gather here now, men and women, both and neither, disciples and outcasts, caregivers, professional and by the seat of our pants. Some of us hear voices, others face anxiety. We are depressed and bipolar. We are desperate for a diagnosis for ourselves or for someone we love. We are desperate for a treatment for ourselves or for someone we love. We are at the end of our rope for ourselves or for someone we love. And so we come to this table just as we are, yearning for community, seeking a presence, praying for acceptance. Here God greets us. Here we embrace each other. Here we share the bread that binds us into one body. Here we share the cup that invites us to be real. Will you join me in prayer to bless that cup and bread? Holy God, our loving Creator, close to us as breathing and distant as the farthest star, we thank you for your constant love for all you have made. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all gathered here, that we might be your love in the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that they might feed us, body, mind, and spirit. Transform us with your grace, even as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup. Inspire us to be your presence in the world, even as we are healed and held by your great love. By your Spirit, make us one, one with the holy, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world, until all know wholeness and justice and peace. Amen. Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become God's body in the world. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Come, the table is ready. Souls. Will you join me in the prayer of thanksgiving? Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. Mental health is expensive. Therapy, medications, doctor's appointments, they add up. Time off work to exercise, to sleep right, to seek treatment, that adds up too. A mental health crisis is even more expensive. The lifetime cost of untreated serious mental illness is estimated to be $1.85 million per person. Sometimes when someone calls the church asking for money to help with rent or groceries, a little conversation reveals that at least part of their struggle is related to mental health. They had to drop out of school because of anxiety, and now they're overwhelmed by student loan debt. They lost their job when a bout of depression made it hard to get out of bed. They lost their housing when their marriage ended due to their partner's untreated bipolar disorder. Maybe we can't instantly give somebody mental well-being or solve all their financial problems, but we can provide a bit of support that not only buys them time, but lets them know they're not alone. That's what the Communion Fund does. Your contributions allow us to respond quickly when someone comes to us in need. With small grants, we pay a utility bill so the electricity stays on, or provide a gas card so somebody can keep getting to therapy or to work. It's not a magic pill, but it is a bit of love in action, and it's only possible due to your generosity. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, know that this act provides concrete support to the pursuit of mental well-being. And thank you. God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the lives that they will touch. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 444. Beloved, benediction means good words. Often this part of worship is called the benediction. So these are the good words I speak to you today. We may be broken. We may feel inadequate. We may make mistakes, but we are full of love. We are full of light. We are full of God. Go in peace. Amen.